Is it appropriate if I make a fucking your sister joke?
Okay, so let's start the podcast. Hello, I am Will Sexuality. Welcome to the Uncultured Swines podcast about Stranger Things. Today we have our guest. You are just like Dusty Bun and Uncultured Swines. Today we're talking about Stranger Things. We might be talking about all the season. Yeah, we might. I don't know. I'm not actually the host. This is a hijacking, I believe they call it.
That's
my name is Steve.
This is a hijacking, and Jack isn't even here. Yes.
Yeah. Actually, about that, if two Jacks fight each other, is it called the jack off?
For fuck's sake. We're off to a great start. Yes, we have myself, Aaron, Ashley, and Jordan. And yes, Stranger Things season 4. There's a lot. And so what I thought is we can give our initial opinions on season 4. And I think the best way of going through the series is actually just to go through each of the characters and talk about them. And talk about how they've changed from season 1 to season 4. And then we can get like a good chunk of everything.
I can't remember season 1.
How can you not remember
season 1? Yeah, it's been such a long time since I've watched it, but I remember a good bit of it. All I remember is that Mike is always kind of like a little...
Mike?
Is profanity allowed?
All the time.
Yeah, is profanity allowed?
it is more than allowed. It is encouraged.
Especially for Mike Wheeler.
Mike's a little prick. He's a little prick, man.
Like,
I would punt him over the wall. He deserves.
Season 1 Steve is an asshole and Mike season 1 is really nice. No, Mike was always an ass and Steve was always nice. Like, Steve done some stuff to Jonathan, but nothing out of the realm.
Jonathan took pictures of him and Nancy having sex.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If that happens, you're going to break the camera. I'm sorry.
Well, look, I suppose in terms of with Mike, he's supposed to be a product of his time. He's brought up like he's supposed to be this ultra masculine fella, but he's being bullied all his life, right? And, you know, he's coming to terms with that, and so he acts like a bit of a dick to people because he wants to act cool, I suppose.
I mean, I guess it's like a father like son with his dad just being a bit.
Maybe it is,
but. At the same time, something that really annoyed me is Mike giving out to Elle, especially in this season. Like, especially like when Elle ended up hitting the girl with the roller skate, and then Mike is like, "What the hell did you do?" Whereas you go back to season 1, and then when Elle like beats up Mike's bullies, it's just like, "Oh, Elle, you're so dreamy.
You're a superhero.
Yeah,
you're my superhero."
It's supposed to represent that at this point the characters have grown up. Like, there's a difference between absolutely fucking sticking a roller skate into someone's forehead and making someone piss their pants.
I mean, what is it? One of them got their arms broken.
Yeah,
I was going
to. That's not a life or death situation right there. Of, you know, Mike has just jumped off a fucking cliff.
And he sees this girl, right? And she doesn't fucking know how to speak English. She's traumatized. She doesn't know shit about the world. And he's like, "That is my girlfriend."
Yeah.
You're going to live in my basement now.
Thanks.
Do you think Mike speaks to?
Oh, you just came from the asylum? Let's go get pizza.
Yeah.
It's Mike. He needed someone in his little life. He doesn't really talk to a lot of women. He thinks that's the norm.
Yeah, he just walks down. He just thinks that like a lot of men just walk downtown, see a woman, just think, "You're mine now."
Oh, this is how my friend
got a girlfriend. He
went to the woods at night, and a woman just appeared.
Yeah, you're living in my basement now. I'm gonna teach you how to speak. And you're also gonna beat up my bullies.
You will live off nothing but.
She couldn't even form full sentences before he was like, "No, Elle, I don't want to be your brother. We don't have a brother-sister relationship. I want to be your boyfriend.
Yeah.
Like, she couldn't even speak.
Yeah, but, like, the woman has superpowers. And that's cool. That's what Mike liked about Elle.
Yeah.
I wish that they...
Imagine all...
They, I w-
somebody
I wish
for their superpowers.
I wish they made up.
But like, in they see it, three, and like I said, Mike doesn't get a lot of women, all right? And then Mike finds this girl with superpowers. Of course, he's going to think this woman is really, really cool. Because, yeah, and then they bond more in the later seasons. And they actually form us, well, I wouldn't say a solid relationship because it has a lot of problems.
Yeah.
But it's all about being. It's Mike is a product of his time, and he wants to be this man, I suppose, because that's the way boys were and still are raised to be nowadays, I suppose.
I mean, Elle is a victim of Stockholm syndrome, both with her papa, but also Mike at this stage.
I mean,
it's kind of weird.
I don't think they're exactly being held hostage.
Yeah.
I mean, where else were they going to go?
I mean, in season one, Mike constantly telling her to like hide and not be seen by anyone.
Well,
yes,
I don't know.
Yeah, they were currently being hunted by an enforcement, but
that's a flimsy excuse. I'm always being hunted,
man. It's season three, Mike. Season three, Mike, is where I fell off a cliff.
And also in season four, when they were having the argument after she roller skated Angela in the face, he was like, "They're nobodies. They don't understand you. They're not gonna understand you. They're nobody's L." And I feel like they haven't really tried to introduce her to the rest of the world. Like, there are gonna be other people in the world who can sympathize with L. Like, not everyone else is gonna be like Angela.
Yeah.
So they've kind of done...
What exactly is your point?
Hold on, I just made a parallel here, and I know this is going to sound bad, but this reminds me of Umbrella Academy Season 1 with what was his name?
Luther?
Not Luther. Not him.
Vanya,
the other dude.
Leonard.
Yeah.
Yes! That's the point I'm making.
Yeah.
They're like... separating her from the rest of the population.
Actually, you know what?
In terms of
Elle, I'm not okay with this.
Put in school, but there's reason to separate her in that thing of like, there are people out there who want to murder her, and there's also people out there who want to do tasks on her, and, you know, for the sake of her own safety, you know, she may have to keep a low profile, but it's like, they're starting to lay off a bit in season four. They let her go to school. And of course, people are going to act like an asshole towards her, you know? Like you said, she can barely speak English. People are going to make fun of her for that.
Hmm.
There's a lot of, you know...
But...
Like, one thing I'll give Stranger Things is there's nuance there. It's not as simple as just saying, you know, oh, we can just let Elle get out there, you know? There's people who want to absolutely obliterate Elle. There's people who want to test on her, and there's people who want to do all sorts of horrible things to her. They have to be very careful around her. As well as that. Sorry, go on.
I don't know if there's a lot of nuance. I mean, maybe nuance in characters, but you look at Red Scare stuff, like, you, me, and Josh have talked about this, and I've talked about how Russia is portrayed as this ultra-evil, whereas America is this greater good, but whenever there's like evil Americans,
yeah,
they specifically go out of their way. It's like, oh no, but it's only
like
a certain part of the government. It's not the government, only a certain part.
Because the show itself is American. It's written by Americans. So of course it's going to portray everything like that. It's going to get, you know, the Soviets were all really, really evil people, but we weren't evil. Only some of us were evil, and they were all gone by then. That's that's gonna that better suits you know the Americans.
They were all communists.
They were all communists. They don't count. But
damn commies!
Sorry,
we don't want no commies.
I wanted to jump back to Elle and Mike's relationship because I think the Leonard example works well, but I think what works better and what should have happened...
The Leonard example doesn't work well because superpowers in that sort of world are an accepted thing and you have people who are well-trained with their powers. They're still absolute assholes. But in terms of Leonard, like, isn't Leonard the opposite to Mike of saying like he should get out there with his superpowers?
Last time I checked, Leonard, didn't they discover, like, Leonard and Vanya ended up discovering that Vanya had powers, and then Leonard was like, oh yeah, you should use this and, like, show up the Umbrella Academy. Like, you're
yeah, that was his whole thing. Because wasn't it that, like, he wanted revenge for, against the Umbrella Academy because born on the same day, but he wasn't special.
Yeah.
And he resented them for that, and then he found Vanya, who, you know, does have powers.
Yeah.
So there you have
different to them. You're so much more powerful. You're above them, which is kind of where I'm making the parallel with Mike, sort of being like they're nobodies. You're my superhero, you know?
Yeah, but like I said, that comparison it works, but not completely. I think a better.
I don't think it works at all because there you have someone
can
manipulating
I move
someone.
On to the better example. Please. Okay,
no, but like you can't. No, what you're work. Looking at is a case of someone manipulating someone. That is not what Mike is doing. Mike is a bit of a dick at times, sure, but he's not manipulating anyone.
No, but he shares the same idea that Mike is in love with Elle's powers, or at least that's what it seems like until like the fairy climax where he's like, "No, Elle, I love you specifically." But
that's
it's always been about her powers. It's always been, she is the girl with the power, she's the superhero, and she's the only one who's ever paid attention to me.
Yeah. Something that strengthens her bond, you know. A large part of it is her powers. That's how they, that saved their lives numerous times. It's how they met, and it's kind of the basis of their friendship. But they do build a bigger bond off of that, you know?
But would you like someone to only be with you because you're good at playing guitar?
I mean, personally, no, but I don't think Mike is just with Elle because of her powers. Seeing if she loses them and he's still with her, right? Yeah, sure, there's issues in the relationship past that point, but that can be brought down to just distance. No, you can't really.
Yeah.
But for the love of God, can I say this example, please?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. Have you guys watched I Am Not Okay With This?
Yes.
I have.
Yes. And nope. You know, what's the main character again? The girl?
Sid.
Sid. And what about her best friend?
Stan. No.
Stan.
Stan?
Yes. Stanley.
Something like Stanley. Yes. And he is like head over heels for Sid, but also when he discovers her powers, that's just like an extra thing. It's like, oh yeah, you should be able to use your powers like an X-Men. That would be amazing. And then Sid is like, fuck no, and sorry, I don't like you. And the response there should be, oh, I'm sorry, can we still be friends? And then that happens. And I feel like that's what should have happened in season 3, where Elle was just kind of like, sorry, Mike, we're done. See you later.
Well, the point, like, I think the point more to, like, Stranger Things is very much not real, and that was done completely for drama during the season. Like, in the end, like, in the real world, the relationship between Mike and Elle doesn't work. But
I'm not okay with this is also not very serious and not very real.
Yeah, but still, like thematically, it's a very different show. You know, it delves more into the sexual side of things. I'd say at times it's going to be a lot more adult. You're getting a completely different view of relationships in that show.
You do, and I guess the themes as well, considering that Sid's powers... That's actually very convenient, considering that Sid also has telepathic powers. I didn't even notice that. Anyway, Sid's powers manifest because of their depression.
Yeah. So,
whereas L doesn't have that. L just has, if I'm angry, I'm stronger. I mean, it wouldn't be depression, but PTSD. They usually get a lot of their strength from their horrible experiences in their past. But, yeah. I don't like Mike.
I think he's alright. I think he's a great character establishing the views of the time and how it affected people, especially children at the time. Right, I think you're looking at someone who was relentlessly bullied by people in their school, or at least that's what you can take away from the bullies in season one. You know, of course he's not going to be the role model of a person.
Yeah.
Gotcha. I do find it funny, though, what you were saying about the nuance. I will admit, they have some nuance, because if you look at something like E.T. is always like the easy example, where you have the kid in E.T., and then he'd be like the protagonist up until he finds E.T., and then they kind of share the spotlight. That's very similar in this, but I feel like Mike got sidelined because L is just far more interesting. And it makes sense, because E.T. is far more interesting. You know, the alien, the newcomer, is far more interesting than just ordinary person.
Yeah.
Yeah, sure. I remember, didn't they sort of touch on that a little bit in 4, where he was sort of like, it could have been literally any other person, but it was me. I was just some ordinary person that met L.
Yeah. That does happen.
Yeah, he said, my life began when I met you.
And it was also the day that Will disappeared. Can we talk about Will?
Yeah, yeah. I want to know if he's gay or not.
He is most definitely gay.
I get that. I get that feeling too, because
just a bit, just a tad.
Maybe he's just a very melodramatic person.
possibly. I remember seeing an interview with the actor, and he was asked, "Oh, is Will gay?" It's like, I don't think Will is gay. I think Will is just
Will,
a teenager growing up. And I remember loads of people talking about this. I remember loads of people talking about how all the other kids in Stranger Things had to grow up a lot faster because they had to deal with life-threatening things on the daily. Whereas Will, yes, did deal with life-threatening things, but he was never in the action. He was always the victim to it. And so his role is usually to get rescued or stand idly by. And so people are saying that he's just a lot younger than everyone else, and so he acts a bit weirder. Hmm. No, I don't think so.
I still think he's gay.
So, because that can make a lot of sense, or is it just like...
Oh, yes, because I just want him to be gay so bad that I throw at everything else. No, I think when we're talking about Mike and Will, then it's definitely a case of he's gay, though he...
Yeah, I'd say I'd say that's too much.
But in regards to some other stuff, like even in season two, Will really wants to be a kid. He really wants to go trick-or-treating. He wants to have fun. He wants his life back, you know? He's missing that. So for that, I'll definitely say so. I mean, all of these kids are traumatized. Like, fucking Dustin had Eddie die in his arms. Lucas had, like, his girlfriend's crumpled body lying there. Like, they're not having a great time.
If I can just say one thing, character, all right? They should have kept him in the fucking Upside Down, because he is so boring. Like, the only interesting thing about him is whether he's gay or not.
Oh, God.
Not interesting at least.
I mean, he sort of has his little power of being able to sense things. Because I remember at the end of it, he was like, I can sense Vecna's power. It's so strong. I'm like, oh no.
Season 3, babe. Fucking beginning.
I mean, Will, I feel, was never a character in season one, obviously. He was the boy who was captured. And then in season two, he was the boy that possesses powers. Similar powers, but like evil powers. And then, yeah, in season three and four, he's sidelined a lot.
He's a character in the same way the TARDIS is a character. He either speeds up or slows down the plot.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
And now he is completely irrelevant. Like, because there's no mind flare, or at least no mind flare flares in the back of his head. Only until the end. He only gets it at the end.
Yeah, it's going to be a thing of they're all returning, the Demogorgon, the mind flare, and the fucking man with a ball sack on his head.
Yeah, Vecna.
Vecna.
And the bad guy from Halo 4.
Josh loves saying that.
Yeah, I know.
His nose looks like a vulva.
He's mixing it. He's got like a ball sack for a head and vulva for a nose.
Fuck you all. I reproduce asexually.
I hate his voice. His voice sucks so bad.
It was so goofy. Yeah.
It's horrible.
Are you ready to die?
Keen pointed out that it sounds like he's trying to voice like a trailer, like a Star Wars trailer.
Oh god.
This December.
Your end comes soon in July.
See, I don't like though that entire thing. Like, I feel like he could have just been number one and had some deformities, like maybe he had like some of that stuff growing on him, but like not remove his nose. But the only reason they did all that stuff to mask his voice, to change his appearance completely, is because they wanted a big plot twist at the end of volume one of season four.
Also, his hands keep switching from like claws to human hands, and I don't know if it's intentional or not.
I think
I actually don't know.
Saw it is that he had a right hand which was all clawy and weird, and his left hand was alright.
I couldn't see if it was each hand or if they were both changing or what was happening. But like sometimes he's got these big fucking claws, and then other times it's just fingers, a little manicure or something.
Maybe he can retract the claws like a cat.
Maybe.
As a cat?
Do you think they have cats in the Upside Down?
I mean, if they have, I mean, they
had like Demogorgon, yeah.
Yeah, he got
Demogorgons and Democats.
And mind the cats.
Demo-bats.
Go around. Instead of saying meow, they go,
well.
Actually, no. I'm convinced. Okay, my cat Hazel, he must be from the Upside Down, right? So, this is fun. And, right? So, Hazel has a little boyfriend, a little cat, black and white one. I sent a photo in of them before, and they get into a few fights. They're not in a very happy relationship, and so then one day my dad comes back and he's about to pull into the driveway, and there he sees the dead cat, and it's like, oh no, they must have had some poor breakup. And then it's in between like my house and the house across from us. And so my dad ends up getting out and looks at the cat and is like, yeah, oh, damn. And then here comes Hazel prancing along, and he ends up looking up at my dad with the biggest smile on his face, like, do you like what I did? I was like, Hazel most definitely pushed that cat in front of a car.
That's what happened. Yeah. Like, whenever you want to break up, just murder your partner.
Yeah.
That's what I did. Notice how you haven't heard from him? Anyways, Max.
He's probably...
Anyway, Max?
Yeah, Max is good.
Max is cool.
I thought we were doing the original four and then moving on to...
Yeah, I mean...
Oh, in a way, it's fine. We don't need a structure.
Max showed up in like season two.
Yeah,
season two, is it not?
No, season two.
You know, I say actually, let's talk about the best character throughout the entire series, Steve.
Steve. Hare Harrington.
And then move on to Max.
I love Steve Harrington.
I would marry that man in a heartbeat.
You'd have to kill me first.
Same.
No. I just might.
Well, I mean.
Can we?
I mean,
it's not you.
We can't share, Tig. We cannot share Steve Harrington.
Duel to the death for Steve Harrington.
I say we form teams.
You get him on weekends.
Form him on Wednesday so I can say stuff like, oh, Steve, it's Weddings Day. Ha ha ha.
Was TikTok around when season 3 of Stranger Things came around?
Yeah. Yes, it was. How long ago do you think that season came out?
A while ago. It was like 2-3 years ago at this stage.
TikTok has been around.
It was before COVID.
It was before
definitely
COVID.
Anyway.
Yeah, I don't remember as many TikTok Steve Harrington compilations.
Were you an active TikTok user?
Ever since that scene in The Upside Down where he was shirtless, I've been seeing him all over the place.
Yeah.
Now.
As you should.
Steve goes from being a very, very nice person in the first season to being a very, very nice person in the last season. That is his character development.
He is. And he's been riding on that. Season 1 is just going from just a nice person. He wasn't even that bad. He was just,
a bit
like,
ethically
challenged. He was a bit extreme, and then obviously he had, like, shitty friends who ended up doing stuff. That was another thing. I rewatched seasons 1-3 before season 4 came out. And him not being the one to spray paint, what is it, like, Nancy is a slut on the cinema thing. I was like, okay, that lessens the blow, but I also feel like, I wonder how it would have turned out if he did end up spray painting it. Like, would people be as willing to forgive him? Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I would. Yeah. He can do whatever he wants.
You can call me a slut any day.
He's Harrington.
Exactly. He is Steve Harrington.
He can do whatever he wants.
It's tiny details. Because he has his toxic friends around him, you're a lot more likely to point it to them. And to be fair, most of the time, it is them. There's scapegoats. Steve is just hanging out with the wrong people.
I suppose, though, like, if he did write that Nancy the slut wheeler, it could be an interesting thing of, like, then he grows up, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, he's just still been riding that high. And him and Dustin, I love.
Honestly.
They're best friends. They're best friends. I love it. Just him being the babysitter. It's great.
I love that little dynamic they got.
Yeah.
And they kind of replaced it this season with Eddie. Mm. And that makes it even sadder that Eddie fucking died.
Everybody thought that Eddie was hot. And, like, I can kind of get it. He's a very handsome man. He does attractive things, like play D&D. But, like...
Top of my list.
I want a man who can roleplay.
I mean, think about how that would
roll
go
that
down
deep.
The bed.
Gonna have to do the death check for this. Ooh, Eddie, that's a critical hit.
Okay.
You get Munson.
Yeah, but Eddie was a really good character. He was fucking amazing.
He played the guitar.
You can roll me on a table anytime, Eddie.
Wait a minute, you can get Eddie and I get Steve. That seems fair to me.
I don't think that's
you, Eddie. I bet you have a +3 to dexterity and a +2 to constitution, my man.
That makes no sense, but it's still really funny.
God's sake. Okay, before you guys absolutely come over, Eddie, I want to talk about... Great job. I want to talk about an important question.
Okay.
You want to talk about who? Sponsor, Raid Shadow Legends?
I want to talk about either Nancy and Steve or Nancy and Jonathan.
Steve! Nancy and Steve!
Steve.
Just so that there's some balance here, I want to go Nancy and Jonathan. Not because I think they're interesting.
I don't like Jonathan. He's kind of...
Jonathan shouldn't have lied to her again at the end of the season.
Yeah. Jonathan is a good character. Like, throughout seasons 1 and 3, he's actually really good. And then they just dropped him at season 4, and it feels so bad. Like, the entire California crew just fell.
Yeah.
Although, I liked how he showed that he could still be a big brother. I like that.
Yeah.
That was nuts.
That's, like, some of the best moments. Like, Jonathan's whole thing is he is there for Will 24-7, 365. And then once he stops that...
That's when there's Demogorgons around. Then he has to go to work.
And that's the thing. He hasn't had an easy life. He's had to work for everything. And then you oppose that to Nancy and Steve, who have things kind of... Nancy definitely has things easy. Steve... I don't know. Steve has most things easy.
Except for winning fights.
Except for winning fights.
It's better that way.
I think that the most interesting part of their relationship was in... I think it was season 3 when they had the job at the place.
Oh,
yes.
With the men.
Yes.
And they had that argument that was like class against misogyny. And neither of them were wrong. But they fell out over it.
Mm.
And I think that was... Since then, I don't know. They just kind of fell off. I feel like Nancy should be on her own. Because Steve...
Yeah, just for a while.
Steve blatantly told her that he wants her to birth his 6 children. I just think...
Yeah, that's a bit weird.
No wonder you haven't been getting bitches, Steve, okay? That is not what you do.
The only reason... Well, that and season 2 makes me hesitant of Team Steve, considering like his whole thing in season 2 was, I need to stop thinking about Nancy, I need to get over her, I need to move on. And I guess it would be maybe a bit of character development, like Nancy seeing Steve all grown up and thinking, maybe. But I don't know. Do we wanna do a relapse?
I want Nancy and Robin.
Nancy and Robin.
That'd
be great. But like at the same time, I think Robin is too good for most people.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
It seems we have lost Ashley, but I'm assuming he'll come back. He'll come back eventually.
Dear.
It'll be fine. Lucas.
Sorry about that.
Oh, no, you're fine. You have just come back to talk about Lucas.
Oh, I like that guy. I also
actor in season 4, volume 2 did the damn thing. He was so good.
He was.
Mm.
Yeah.
I was.
I'd be pretty upset if my girlfriend was like crumpled up like a piece of paper.
I was crying.
I had like eyes and shit. Yeah, that was really fucking. Yeah.
I think Stranger Things has become very reminiscent of Harry Potter, like the movies, where we get to see these kids grow up now. And so you have something like
people grow up in Harry Potter?
Oh, shit.
Don't compare it to Harry Potter, man.
I don't think a single person grows up in Harry Potter. They all leave being the exact same person. Harry Potter is the chosen one and gets everything handed to him. Hermione is the smart one that will always be told she's bitchy because she's right about everything. And
Ron is dumb.
Ron is just kind of there.
Yeah. I meant literally grow up. Like, you get to see them age in real time.
In a physical
like year, way. Yes, year to year.
I see.
Yeah. Like, it was so funny looking at Mike in season 2 and then go season 3 and it's like, what happened to your voice? What happened to your hair? If we're talking about hairs, Will is getting screwed over every time.
Every single time Will is out of focus. His head looks like it's caving in on itself. It looks like an hourglass.
That poor boy.
Poor Will.
Look, he's sucking in his cheeks.
And his actor has said, like, he asks the writer every time, are we going to change his hair this time? Are we going to change the bowl cut? And they're like, not this season. Sorry.
We'll save
they might change it next season.
They won't.
I need to see, like, emo Will next season. He's going to have, like, real long hair going over his face and everything.
I am predicting a Will villain arc.
Oh.
I thought for, like, because when I was watching season 4, for some reason, the first thing I thought, is Vecna controlling or something?
I mean, he was.
It didn't happen. I was like, oh.
Can I just say.
Exactly, that's what I was thinking.
If we're talking about Vecna, everybody look at my name.
Vecna. Oh, fuck. Vecna.
When I first joined, my name was Vecnerd.
Yeah, that's
a... Sorry, I was just talking to my manager there.
Your manager?
Yeah, I have a manager.
Ah, cool. Can we talk to your manager?
No.
Oh, well. Not too bad. Lucas. Lucas season 1 is good because, if we're being honest, Lucas is the only sensible one. Mike is just head over heels, and it's like, oh, Elle, I love you so much, you could never do anything wrong. And then Lucas is just here like, yeah, no, she's a dangerous weapon. What are we doing here?
I feel like all the characters just had one obsession, except for Lucas. Like, Dustin was magnets and compasses. Mike was girls. And then you have Lucas, who's like, no.
What the fuck is wrong with you? Hell, what is it? Me and Max broke up like 17 times. We're still fine.
Yeah.
I think they should have just left Max dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have been a lot more. Okay. It would have been a lot more impactful. Oh, pseudo dead age? Because she's like, isn't she close now? And she is like 50. Fucking bombs.
Yeah.
Which should have killed her.
You see, Elle brought her back to life. She did die.
She was dead for like a second.
Skywalker.
No.
Yeah.
I'm so right. I actually thought Elle was gonna die then. I thought Elle was gonna give up her life. And if that happened, I think that's a bit cheap. But at least, you know, a life for a life. But no, Elle's alive. The next scene is just like 2 days later, and then she's just there, and I'm like, what?
That annoyed me so much that it just skipped 2 days. I was like,
oh god,
what's that happening, man? What?
That killed 2 days? What happened
to the really handsome Russian guard and the guy that's like,
Murray. I love Murray.
Yuri is amazing.
He's better than Hopper.
Yuri is good. Murray, though, I loved it when Hopper and Joyce were like huddled in the cell, and then Murray's just there with the flamethrower, laughing his head off.
It was great.
Yeah,
it was so good.
I love him so much.
I think we should
the character of Murray should also get an Oscar for doing a Yuri impression.
So good.
Like, as a character, he is definitely up there in my favorites.
My favorite character is Jonathan's friend.
I thought he was useless.
He was completely useless.
Him over time.
That entire subplot was
completely useless, and he was so annoying, but I fucking loved him.
I thought he was
really funny. Purple shit will get you real up high, dude. But the only plot relevance he had was being a pizza guy. Who knew where
I just
salt
feel like
was?
They could have gotten a bit more creative with him. Like, I feel like he had just the same joke going the whole time.
Exactly.
Yeah, he was there for comic.
I love him for he was.
Oh,
it was just the same joke over and over again.
Season 4 just proved something. Now to think about it, every single fucking character in that show is immortal. Hopper is, Max is. Everyone just lives forever. Dr. Brenner, they like could survive like 6 blasts
to the back from a sniper. Right? He could survive being eaten by a Demogorgon. He could survive being thrown against a tank. He survived so much. He is immortal. Everybody's immortal. There are no more stakes. No one can die in that show.
He did die.
He probably didn't. He's gonna like go back to fucking L and say, "Good thing I had my bulletproof
heart,
and I had my
spray on bullet repellent."
Yeah, I just put some jam where the bullets hit, you know, in a way to deceive the enemy.
Yes.
Bullet juice on sale this September. Like,
what the fuck happened to Dr. Owen? He just gets fucking handcuffed for
fucking caps.
He's just left there by L.
Didn't see a body.
But like, they can't have killed Dr. Owen. He's so nice. Even though he treats the same fucking girl every single season. He's bested on.
I mean, out of every scientist we've seen so far, he's definitely the nicest. So, you got to give him something.
Yeah.
I was really expecting...
a decent human being.
Yeah, the bare minimum. Look, we're going for bare minimum here at this stage. There's a lot of terrible scientists.
Talking about bare minimum, Vecna.
Oh, wait. Yeah, we can talk about Vecna, but we can also talk about, like, the last episode as a whole. We're all over the place. But you were talking about how everyone's immortal. Everyone is immortal. I was expecting a lot more people to die on the last episode. I was expecting some Game of Thrones shit. But, no.
I've never watched
Game of Thrones. I remember thinking to myself, if Dustin dies, I'm going to Netflix and I'm killing...
Dustin does not die.
Dustin, favorite character from all of the series. He's great. I love him.
Him and Lucas are at the top. They're like S tier.
Exactly. Actually, yeah, Dustin was the only original kid character that we didn't talk about. But like, what is there to say about Dustin other than he is amazing?
Dustin is like a girlfriend that talks about politics. Too perfect for this world.
Ashley, you'll find someone.
I won't. I won't.
Yeah, because women in politics...
Do you want to talk about anything, Ashley?
What?
Do you want to talk about anything?
Not really, because I think I'll just sound like a sad 12-year-old on the internet. But... Strictly Stranger Things.
Look, Ashley is taken by Stranger Things. Back off, ladies.
I wish Stranger Things would take me, but not even it will.
Oh,
I just need someone who's not like the other girl. What? No, you won't.
Okay. Okay, then. I guess I'll stop. Dustin is great. His cat died.
Perfect cat.
Oh yeah, his cat gets eaten.
That's the only time that Dustin is kind of like somewhat iffy. But like even then, he's like, "Hey, Steve, season 2, Steve." Oh, Aaron, what have you found?
Has anyone seen what Josh said?
No.
In the podcast channel.
What is Josh? Oh,
I'm looking at it later. I can't make it up now.
Okay. For reference,
other than that image,
Josh sent a screenshot of a tweet that said, "How the hell did Mike not notice Will crying right next to him?" And then it showed Mike's pure.
Oh yeah, that picture.
It's the worst. It is the worst bowl cut I've ever seen.
Yeah. No, I've never seen that picture before. It's funny.
That's amazing.
Wheel of Cash.
I remember seeing that a fucking while ago.
Neck.
Okay, we gotta stay
on topic here, guys. We gotta stay on topic.
Alright, Dustin is great. Now let's go on to Max. Because Max was the first new character
in Max season 2. Max is totally unnecessary, but also very cool. Just like our...
Yeah, but at least Max does things. Like, Max's introduction is perfect, right? Because the main group are trying to figure out who she is. They have an interest in them. It's not like they fell into, or she fell into their lap. They actively stalked her. And then once that happens, Max then has to try and convince Mike why she's important. She's a zoomer. She says it. She's a zoomer.
Yeah. Yep. She can skate. She can skate. She's got skill. Exactly. She's, you know, Tony Hawk. She does that.
Yeah. And besides that, she's just cool. Her and Billy. That's where things really come together. I love Billy, not because of his character, but because he created this beautiful quote. End of season 2, Billy shows up at the Wheeler's house. Steve is outside, and then Billy is just like, Harrington, am I dreaming or is that you? Yeah, it's me, don't cream your pants. Fucking totally perfect.
Or that bit where he says, "You're so dead, Sinclair. So dead.
You're so dead, Sinclair."
I thought Billy was a good character because, once again, he represents the views at the time. He's very racist, and it's because of his abusive dad, who was probably also racist.
Yeah. I mean, hell, they were even from California. Like, California is one of the more progressive states, and then showing up there being a racist asshat who nearly gets himself killed in a car multiple times.
And then does get himself killed later.
Yep. And then Max's whole trauma about that. Like, they have tried to explore trauma with Elle a bit, but it's always been in specific doses. Like, it's only when Elle is trying to get her powers back or is using her powers. Elle's never like on her own, and then she thinks about it. It's just once she's reminded. Whereas Max, it's a constant thing. It's like constant guilt.
See, the guilt was pushed to the max in that season.
For fuck's sake. And then you have the iconic scene, the running up that hill to make a deal with God.
So iconic.
No, before I watched Strange Things, because I watched it pretty late, I just saw loads and loads of videos of that song to the point where, like, you know when you're listening to a song, and it is very good, but the more you listen to it, the more you get annoyed by it.
Yeah.
But... And I saw that scene after I was annoyed by that song, and I was like, damn, this would be a great scene, if not for the fact that I hate this song.
and with that, with like TikTok completely blowing up that song, what I find funny is, do you think Netflix always planned the ending where they had that song playing? Or do you think that it was just TikTok and then they were like, editors, quick, change it.
Yes.
I think that it's a sort of mixture of both where they might have had it planned for like a smaller scene or something. Like, you know, when Max has the headphones on, it might be playing there, but it wouldn't be playing in that final scene where everything's fucking like exploding and cutting in half and the bully dude is going, but like, you know.
What?
Yeah, you remember he was like lying on the floor because Lucas beat the shit out of him.
Oh, and then Jason.
Oh yeah, that was
great. I love that.
He existed.
What was his name? Okay, I'm looking at it.
Jason. It was Jason.
It was Jason.
Okay, Foley.
That bit was so fucking funny. Like, just go towards him and flip him. That was so funny, man.
Jason Foley, if you're watching this. I'm sorry.
Trajectory.
He's not gonna watch it.
Just do like a slight little, like over like the second name or something.
Listens to our podcast.
Time. This is slander. This is slander.
As I should.
You know what I have to say about one thing in Stranger Things that really actually, now that I think about it, is bothering me.
Twat.
Nothing that happens is strange anymore. So it should be called normal things from the perspective of the characters.
Yeah. It should be called regular.
But that is a good point. I feel like the show keeps amping things up where you get to the end and Max is about to die and it's like the end of the world. And then Hawkins rips open and they're like, well, it's season 5 is just going to be this, but again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like these kids aren't trained in martial arts or like first aid or anything. How are they getting through this, like realistically? How have they gotten this far?
With the power of love,
you know, by rolling their nat 20s on their D&D dice.
Yeah, yeah.
Look,
that's like the show has become more cartoony and more appealing to people. Like season 1, it was a bit of a horror. Season 2, they tried doing more season 1, but a bit more diluted, and it wasn't that good. I didn't like season 2. It's probably the weakest season. And then season 3 felt like a cartoon with the nicest Russians in the entire world.
I hated season 3.
Season 3 was fun, but it was so bright and colorful. So I guess it like reflects the 80s perfectly, but like it wasn't very tonally consistent, I think.
I don't think it ever has been tonally
like it.
Season 1 is comedy sometimes, and then it tries to be scary. And sure, like the first time you watch it, it's scary. Or at least, but the first time I watched it, I was like a kid. I don't even think I was in the teens yet. So, of course, I'm going to find it scary.
Mm.
But, like, I don't think it did change very much. I think it's always been very cartoony. Like, it would be a lie to say it's grounded in any sort of realism. Or, like,
yeah, of course.
Although, I do say, like, season 3 did have a few issues, but you see, it was trying to go into the Cold War is happening as well, and we have to bring this in because God knows what might just happen if we just kept the show, you know, if we didn't have the Cold fucking War in everything, you know? We have to have Russians, course, Americans. Yeah. We could
also, they should have left Hopper for another season. I know what they did with him this season was good. I really liked it, but his death is completely meaningless at the end of season 3 now, at least to me.
Yeah.
Like, it does not feel... Like, none of the deaths feel permanent. None of it feels, like, you know, like a death. Hopper's death in season 3 did feel a bit permanent until that, like, small little teaser of him in Russia came out, and everybody was like, oh, of course he's alive.
Yeah. And the thing is, the way he survived is so stupid. I thought he would have
ended
up the upside down, and then he would have had to find his way back through whatever means, like whether that is like somehow sailing to Russia or something like that. That's just utterly ridiculous. No, he was just over the balcony. He was just over the balcony. Like Joyce literally could have like peered over the edge. I don't know why she would have, but it would have been that because simple.
There was an explosion.
But you don't understand. He was right there. I thought, it's annoying.
But at the same time, like, you can't just talk about how unreasonable that is after saying, Aubrey could have sailed to Russia.
To Russia. I mean, I don't know. You were talking about how this show is goofy. I don't know which is goofy.
But it's
Him ending up in the upside down.
Oh, wow. I don't remember America looking this Russian. A bunch of AK-47s come up like, you're coming with us.
I mean, no.
Actually, no. What I think could have been interesting, if they did that thing of Hopper being stuck in the upside down and they don't mention it at all halfway through, but then in that last sort of episode when they're all going into the upside down for like, just at the start of chapter 2 of season 4.
What?
Find Hopper as like a hunter in the Upside Down.
That would have been cool. Or
that sounds cool enough. But I don't think it would work from the like if they just cram Hopper in there on the second last episode. I don't think it would work.
Oh, of course it wouldn't have worked, but it would have been cool.
I think if they had a plot specifically for finding Hopper, like imagine if you know the way that they learn how to communicate properly in the Upside Down. Imagine if they're trying to do something and then lights start flickering. They get like a Morse code. Hopper knows Morse code. And then it spells out Hopper. And then once Elle arrives back after realizing what she did to number one, well, then she tries to open a portal to get Hopper back. Could that work?
I think it could work if it was done in the finale. If like they did that sort of Morse code thing, like that's Hopper, and then they like plot in season 5.
Yeah, Aaron, what do you think about this? Is Aaron still here?
I'm here.
What do you think?
I liked the Russia plot line.
Yes, I agree with you on that.
I liked it. I don't know, but
like I liked it.
I think. The rules of the Upside Down are a bit strange.
Yes.
And they always kind of make it seem like it's going to fall into place soon, and then it never quite does. Like, you never kind of fully understand what the hell... What it... Like, wasn't there a point in a past season where you couldn't, like, breathe in the Upside Down for long?
Yes, the air was...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And why are they all like breathing fine now?
That was one thing. When it started raining that fog or snowing that dust, I thought then people were going to like start coughing. And I thought, oh, this is gonna be interesting. But no.
Like what are the laws here? Yeah.
If you wanna talk about stupid laws, let's I'm sorry. Once volume one ended, I lost my mind. So, number one, Henry goes back, gets banished to the Shadow Realm. He ends up in the Upside Down. But it's not quite the Upside Down yet. And there's Demogorgons, the Mind Flayers there, everything that we've seen, it's there. Will ends up getting taken by the Demogorgon. That was the day that Elle made contact. And then the dimension that one is in transforms into reverse Hawkins. That's when the Upside Down really becomes the Upside Down. And then it's frozen in place. Okay.
Is that a thing because of Vecna's sort of mind powers? It's kind of like a memory?
I think it was more because of Elle. I think that the Upside Down copied whatever world it was connecting with.
I suppose, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, and now it's stuck. It can't do anything. And I guess it's because it was that instant. Like, I'd imagine if Elle were to communicate with another Demogorgon and touch it, maybe it would update? I'm not quite sure. But anyway, so, and it's stuck in that time period.
Wait a minute, we need to install the Google updates.
Yeah, we've got, like, 10 years of updates to go through. This may be a while. Elle, look, take a seat.
Just on the Hopper thing, I think we actually got a lot of good things out of the Hopper subplot. Like, we got the really handsome Russian guy. His name wasn't Enzo, was it? It was like Antov or something.
No, Enzo's. Wait, no, that was
sorry the name about of, that. Was the name of the... I'm back.
Hello, back. Hello,
we were just explaining the Upside Down, and then we're talking about sexy Hopper.
Oh, great, great, great.
Yes.
Dean is my name is Fekna. Does that mean you simp for me?
No. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Aaron only simps for pre-scorched potato.
Fekna. Yeah. Pre-vagina nose.
Pre-vagina.
But yeah, on the entire Hopper thing, we got the handsome Russian guard fella, and you got the guy that's like, and then my friend was ripped to pieces, I am only joking. And then you also got Murray. He's really, really good at everything.
What happened to them in the end? Where did they go?
They just went back to Russia or something. I don't know.
They like, went that guy London, has kids. He? Enzo has kids, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he has a son.
He's got like a whole wife.
Oh, not just half a wife.
Oh, yeah. Personally, mine's in bits, so I don't know.
What, like Max?
Exactly.
My God. They're terrible.
I think it's going to turn out that they're all...
I can't wait for Max and Lucas's blind date.
Oh, my God.
Yo! Now Max is blind, just like me.
Finally, a related character.
There is one bad thing about the Hopper in Russia thing, and it's that horrible fucking coat he wears.
A funny thing that I saw on TikTok is that at the start of the season, when Lucas is hungover, Jason says that the first hangover feels like you're getting split in half. and then he gets split.
Then he gets half.
That's the bit of the series where I went, you know what? This is the point where Jason became half a man.
Well, what if the entirety of season four was just Jason's high dream after he got hungover? Yeah, he died as the world was apart. He was split in half.
He was fully split into the world.
I missed that. I think I was focusing on Lucas.
In a way, he shows the divide in the fan base from Steve being hot and Eddie Munson being hot.
Man, Jason sucked. That's another...
Jason's
You were talking about characters of the time. Yeah, there you go. Another one.
Jason is a dick.
Psychopath. He was actually a psychopath.
He might have been.
He tried to kill Lucas.
Yeah.
And his buddies tried to, assault Erica. It was horrible.
Yeah.
What the fuck was up with that?
I think it's very strange that they made the mob of these athletic white boys go after the two black characters.
Yeah.
And didn't address anything about that?
No, what's wrong with them?
The entire point is supposed to actually address
that. And then he died.
They think they're chasing a serial killer psychopath, but in turn turns them into serial killer psychopaths.
Well. Also, with Erica, what you were saying, Erica gets dimmed down a lot from season 3. Like, in season 3, she's very out there. She's very sassy, and she's very prominent, you know? But I think people... I remember... I didn't mind her, but I remember a lot of people saying that she was a bit much and made season 3... feel that bit more cartoony. And so then this one, like I said, she's died back, but I really like her.
I think that's a good thing, because in season 3, that kind of portrays a stereotype as the sassy black girl.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So I think it's good that they added more to her character than that.
Exactly. And now she's just the cool nerd who will beat you up.
Yeah.
I love it.
Character development.
There you go. And look, sorry, I want to talk about the Upside Down again, because we got to the Upside Down is Frozen, but I wanted to talk about something that I really do not like. I really do not like. So they explain the world is frozen in the same date that Will was taken. What was it, 1979 or something like that? And so then later on, in season 4, the group tried to communicate, the teenagers try to communicate with the kids from the Upside Down, And what they do is they end up taking Mike's sister's little toy. And so they're able to use that. But you don't see objects move in the Upside Down. It's frozen. You don't see clothes, floating clothes going around. You don't see cars moving. You don't see plates hovering in the air. And so they're very flimsy with the rules at times, which is annoying when they try to explain the rules.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, it isn't a massive thing. Like, it's not like it was super critical. Like, they could have used anything else. They could have used any light source and it would have worked. But it's the fact that they used that in that circumstance. They moved it. Why didn't they just like kick the sister out? Or why did the sister even need to be there? You know?
Yeah.
That was just something that annoyed me, but we haven't even talked about Hopper and Joyce.
Wow, they kissed.
They kissed. They're so
Yeah, cute. That was cool. Yeah.
That's the only reason I watch Stranger Things. Now let's talk about something interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Let's talk about number one.
I said something interesting. Oh, hello, I'm the edgy bad guy. I hate the way people live mundane lives, and so I'm going to commit a massive genocide on Earth. Oh, L, I'm so nuanced. Oh, I sound like I spent 24/7 on Reddit.
Yeah. I don't like it when shows do that, when they reveal the character in a later season, like all the way in season 4, and it's like, I was pulling the strings the entire time. I don't like that. I really don't like that. And there are some
especially nods. No hint.
Yeah, there's no hint. There's little nods that the creators kept with. When Elle is in the Upside Down, or whenever there's like a tense scene, they use a clock sound, a ticking sound. And so then they kind of realize that's the only way that we could tie everything together. So they made his whole thing about clocks.
Yeah, it's all about time.
Which is so boring. Oh, even cool. Though I love the sound effect, the sound effect was really cool. That's about the most I can give.
Yeah, I think it was cool for a trailer. I don't think it was cool for an entire series.
Hmm.
I like it. I thought it was
cool. Be a problem with the clocks in it. They don't really have a very major role in it other than being a cool set piece.
Yeah, like the Black Widows have more of an influence than the clock. Like, I actually thought
you forgot the Black Widows were there. Okay, I'm not gonna lie.
Never mind then.
Look, Vecna is just another.
Oh no! Wait, I remember it because he drew the picture of the Mind Flayer, I think, and then
yeah,
because he was looking at spiders and Black Widows and shit.
Yeah. Is that even? I'm sorry, I'm just thinking about that because it's the exact same picture as Will for one. But
yeah,
does that mean that when he went to the Upside Down and he saw the Mind Flayer for the first time, he pictured it like that and so it became that?
Yeah, he like molded it to what he wanted.
Yeah. Huh.
The Mind Flayer was so cool.
I wonder if Nancy's whole vision is going to come true. They kind of forgot about that.
I don't think they forgot about it at all. It seems it literally happens.
Well, half of it's happened.
Yeah.
And they haven't addressed the worry that the rest of it is going to happen.
Yeah, they're keeping
that. Remember, it's been 2 days since the world split open. And most of them are kind of fucking jolly. You know?
Yeah, they're happy to be alive. After the several the times they could have been, you know,
Max is in a coma, Eddie's dead, and they're all jolly.
Yeah, I would be pretty.
I mean, you gotta have your happy scene at the end of the series.
But I wasn't dead. Like, sure, some horrible stuff happened, but I'd be pretty damn fucking like, oh my god, I'm still alive after like going through the shit they had to go through.
I would, but it's not over, you know, like. The town is fucking crumbling into this earthquake thing.
They're still happy that they're alive. And now season 5 is going to happen and it's going to be It's gonna be like, L, I said that this is gonna happen, and L's gonna be like, ah! And then use her magical mind powers, and it's gonna be sorted out.
Peachy, everyone's gonna win. Will is gonna die. Mike is gonna die. One of the main characters will die. They'll have a funeral. Then they'll be saying, and then the Duff brothers will be like, actually, we're gonna do a season 6. Then the trailer's gonna be like, Lucas isn't actually dead. It's gonna be him in Russia.
Lucas is in Russia.
No, I want them to just like pull like a curveball and have like at the end of season 5 and then just be like, but really Max came back out of her coma.
Okay. Who do you think is gonna die by the end of the series?
Dustin. You better not be Dustin.
It's gonna be I'm leaning towards Steve because he's nice. So they're gonna kill the nice character.
Like with Bob. Oh, yeah.
Steve's last words are gonna be, "Oh shit, I never got to have 6 kids."
Nancy, you gotta find a sock.
Oh. Roran, I'm gonna murder you.
That is vile.
No, it's not vile. A vile would be more humane.
No! That's not.
I know.
You know, I'm surprised we didn't talk about this. We haven't really spoken about that entire thing with the Demogorgons being in their little piss cells in Russia.
Yeah, they're cloning Demogorgons.
Which is part of why I think Brenner survived. The Demogorgon only kills people in the Upside Down, but now that they've been separated from the Upside Down, they have to kill in the real world.
No, that is complete bullshit. That is...
How would that make Brenner alive?
No, who was the one who said, would that make Brenner alive?
Now, let me just deconstruct what I just said. The Demogorgon only kills people in the Upside Down. Now, Brenner wasn't in the Upside Down. Brenner was in the downside up, whatever the fuck you call Hawken. All right? Thus, the Demogorgon did not kill it. You see, the Demogorgon's main hunting ground is the fucking Upside Down. It's a predator. It's like the whole. They explain it in the other one. It's like, it doesn't want to be fed just normal food. It needs to be fighting back. All right. And the way the Demogorgon does that is it brings it into the Upside Down. All right. But now
well,
that
they
the Demogorgon
have chosen Will. If you want to,
I don't think the Demogorgon was being very selective. I don't think it was thinking, "Wow, I could take this boy." I think it was more just thinking of it saw food and was like, "Yummy." All right.
Would you rather have like a huge steak like Steve Harrington, or like?
I'm looking at you right now. I'm thinking you're applying human thinking to something that is supposed to be an animal in a completely different dimension.
Yeah, but like, If I not choose the steak or like the tiny squirrel.
I'm looking at it, behind a good portion of this from the start.
And it goes to eat the food. It does not see Steve Harrington at that moment and it goes, "Look, it is food. I am going to eat food." I'm pretty sure the Demogorgon plans to eat a big steak like Steve Harrington later.
Oh, of course, I get you.
Are you sure?
I think I get you now, yeah.
Really, because this is some pretty simple stuff.
Sorry, it's but now I'm just thinking of Steve Harrington, Filet Mignon. So, like,
fuck off. No, Aaron raises a good point. How much do you guys think number one actually controls now? Or
I think he's the mind of this entire organization.
Even more than the Mind Flayer, because I actually thought maybe the Mind Flayer corrupted him a bit, so he's a bit more evil.
No, I think
like the way that I think of it is that it might be like I was thinking of it that like obviously, you know, an evil piece of shit. But he went in there and he thought be like, you know, controlling the Mind Flayer, but the Mind Flayer is sort of like Bulti Woo with his mind. You know?
I don't know. What about you, Aaron? What do you think?
I think that the Mind Flayer is like his fucking pet spider. The Demogorgon is his dog. And they're all just his. And he's got some plan for the end that we don't know yet, but I think he's in complete control.
I think his plan is to give everyone a vulva nose.
Yeah. And we know that because when the Demogorgon was chasing Will in the first season, he opens the lock on the door, and the Demogorgon can't open locks. He's just... He's like that. He would have broke down the door. He wouldn't have opened the lock like a person would. So who was that then? That must have been Vecna.
Oh my gosh. Oh my
Maybe
god.
Maybe just slamming of the door. Dislodge. Because those locks...
I forgot about that. Now I'm just thinking of how lame it would be in, like, a slasher movie of, like, you know, you're running through a field, you go into a shed, lock down the shed, and instead of the dude, like, tearing open the shed, he just, like, he gives it a little knock, tries to see if it's unlocked. He decides to, like, pick the locks very slowly.
He's like, I'll get you in about a minute.
He's just like, give me a minute, guys. I'm a bit inexperienced at lock picking.
And that doesn't imply that Vecna was there, but we know that he can watch people. We know that he can see things and that he has powers like Elle's where he can move things. So maybe he's been watching the whole time.
Maybe, yeah.
He opens the lock with his mind.
The thing that I never liked, though, is when we think about, oh, he's always been watching, and we look back on previous events, you think, why didn't he do what he did this season? Like, he seemed like he was in full force this season. Why wasn't he like that in season 2? Like, when they literally had, like, the biggest portal. Like, it stretched, like, I don't know, like, 60 feet underground. Like, that was perfect.
But my guess is maybe the explanation that they're just going to give is that he wasn't strong enough.
Yeah, that he was still, like, charging up his iPhone, you know?
Maybe it's the thing about how, I don't know, maybe the mechanics of time work differently in the Upside Down.
Time is kind of... I wonder, and this goes back to the grandfather clock and how it's not really used all that much. Remember in the flashback, he shows off his power by turning back the clock. I thought he would have some time control powers. But it seems like that was just aesthetic. It was just kind of like, hey, I have L's powers.
Maybe that's what they're like building up to for the next one. It's going to be like, I control time. It's like a Thanos thing where, like, he gets... It's like the way he brings the red fella back to life. He's going to bring himself back to life and say, I control time. I am unstoppable.
Can I just point out, one of Eddie's last words to Steve was like, hey, don't miss. And then they hit Vecna, and then Vecna escapes. And then Eddie's probably like, you bastards. You shot him out a window. Why did you shoot him out a window?
Yeah.
This show is a lot.
Yeah.
That motherfucker... You know, he was impervious to a lot of things, I suppose.
He was. You know the only way you're going to be able to kill him is with L, and then L is going to die. Like, the both of them are going to die. L's going to die in this last season.
Then Mike's going to be like, ah, oh, shit, I have to talk to other girls now.
The only two girls I've ever known are now dead.
can't date Nancy. That would be
hey, fun. Angela, hug your nose is clean.
Angela's gonna have a vagina nose.
Oh, maybe Angela is gonna turn out to be whatever that guy's name was.
Guys, think of it like, I have a theory. Angela was controlled by Vecna this entire time to get back at L.
Oh my god.
I have a theory that Angela is actually like completely unrelated to Vecna, but still calling the shots, so it'll be the main antagonist of the fifth season.
Exactly.
She's gonna come back with like a rollerblade imprint on her face.
Oh, can she please be the main villain for season 6 whenever they announce that? I know season 5 is supposed to be the end, but... Oh.
They're planning
well, let's be fair.
Things, though, aren't they?
Hmm?
Are they doing spin-offs?
That's a good question. I hope that they don't.
No, they better do like what they did with Better Call Saul and have like a animated TV show called Slippin' Jimmy.
Fuck's sake. It's gonna be something like Demodogs.
I think if they're gonna have spin-offs, they need to be fun enough.
I think they should make a spin-off about those useless people in season 2. You know the second last episode where Eleven's like, you're number 8, you're my sister in
Ah, yeah.
They should make a spin-off about them where they go around being fucking useless.
People hated right, that.
I gotta go.
I actually kind of liked it. All right, see you, Jordan.
I don't fucking stand it. It's like things are starting to get cool. I don't give a shit about Eleven's sister. I don't give a shit about this boring backstory about Eleven's mother.
Like,
I liked it.
I will admit it was terribly placed. I think if they placed it somewhere else, it would have worked. But watching it again, I was kind of like, oh, this is just, like, it was just so poorly placed. Like, everyone is nearly dead. Everyone's on the verge of dying. And then you have that episode. I think if they placed it before, then it would have worked.
Furthermore, the only good thing that we got out of that episode, which was Eleven's cool style, was taken away.
Bitchin'. What is it? Lily ended up going into a store wearing, like, the Hellfire shirt. Walked up to the worker there and got like a coke or something, and then they just looked at her and was like, bitchin'. So good.
That entire thing, like, who names a thing Hellfire?
I mean,
you could just have named it Eddie's D&D group, and then that entire cult thing would have never have happened.
I mean, how many shitty band names have you come up with?
I mean, the Hellfire Club was a real thing here in Ireland.
Huh.
Do you not know that?
No, I'm looking it
it's
up.
In Dublin. I've been up the mountain. It's there's a like a castle up on a mountain in Dublin. And it's called the Hellfire Club.
And what is it?
Something. It's like a legend. I think a group of men used to go up there and play cards, and then something fucking weird happened, and then they're basically known as Satan worshippers.
Maybe Hellfire Club.
Hand and made it better and lucky. Like, they made a deal with the devil to make all of their hands lucky and to always win at poker. Well, is there any other points?
Sorry, I was just reading about the Hellfire Club. Any other points? I don't know. I feel like we haven't really talked about season 4 all that much, but I don't really know what else is there to talk about other than we saw Susie, and that was an experience, and yeah, no, I think the highlight was still L absolutely knocking out Angela.
Yeah,
I don't think that was the highlight at all. I think that was very non-memorable. And
I think it's strange how many people didn't feel any kind of empathy towards Angela at all.
No, because she was so cartoonishly evil. Like, we talk about like this show being a cartoon at times, she had no redeeming qualities. Her entire thing was just being a terrible person. Like, it was ridiculous. I don't have
much to say. So I'm just going to go. Thank you for having me.
Oh, okay, Ashley.
I just don't have anything to say, really.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Thanks.
Okay.
That has never happened.
She's gone.
No, Ashley is very forward. Ashley will tell you your opinion is stupid and now I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. We love Ashley.
We do.
There you go. Yeah. That was the season.
That was the season.
Lots of people are going to die. I think they can't kill Hopper.
Because no, he can't die again.
Yeah, no one will believe it. So I think that Steve, maybe Jonathan.
I think Jonathan is high on the list.
Yeah.
And I think maybe Robin.
But Robin just got a girlfriend.
Yeah, exactly.
Ah, fuck's sake. Elle's definitely going to die. Like, nearly 100%.
Do you think?
Yeah. She has to die.
I don't know.
Elle still being around means that there will continue to be strange things happening.
But Elle, like, moved to California. None of this was to do with her at the start.
Yeah. And
imagine if she had no contact with the Hawkins people or anything. No, if they were completely off the grid, like, this, she wouldn't know.
Mm. I mean, even if she did know, she wouldn't be able to do anything.
They really should have hid her better.
Probably. And she wasn't even hidden very well. I mean, hell, she had her birth name.
Yeah, and something that annoyed me is Mike kept calling her L or 11, like, in public.
Yeah.
Like, do you not get the memo? Do you not get the idea here that, like, your girlfriend has to be kept safe?
Hmm.
And you probably shouldn't be calling her 11 in public?
Oh, yeah, it's just a cute nickname for the amount of times that she's punched me.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Okay, okay. Let's finish this off. We already think who's going to die. We all like the show.
Yes. Great. I didn't like the end of season 4.
Yeah, I didn't like the end of season 4, volume 1. I still am very iffy on number 1.
Okay.
Yeah, but rank all the seasons and split season 4.
Oof. I don't know. I can't remember. I can't remember. I really liked season 3. I obviously liked season 1 because that was it's probably like up there in the best ones anyways. I can't really remember season 2. And season 3 was great. And season 4 volume 2 is down there. Because I think the pacing was horrible.
Yeah. I wonder,
like, the movie long 2-hour 30-minute episode, I felt like was a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah.
Like, they had Steve, Nancy, and Robin choking, and then they cut away for 30 minutes. Yeah. They were choking for 30 minutes. Like, how... I just feel like the pacing was very strange. And it made everything drag on when they were, like, urgent situations that needed to be resolved really quickly. Yeah. They just dragged on to the point where, like, you're like, are they dead now?
Hmm.
Are they dead yet?
It's kind of like you're playing a video game, you're about to die, but you pause, and then you start playing another video game, die, pause.
Exactly that.
Yeah.
And it had this recurring pattern where everything would go to shit. and then everything would get better, and then everything would go to shit, and then everything would get better, and it happened over and over again, to the point where it just gets kind of exhausting, and I feel like it should have been 3 episodes, definitely. And they shouldn't have done the 2-day leap, because that just fucked everything up.
The 2-day leap, yeah, blew my mind. Especially them getting back to the Dan. Or the people in the Upside Down getting back. I mean, actually, what the hell did they even do? Because if there's a big tear in Hawkins, well then what's that look like in the Upside Down? And how do they get back? Because the portals are now just a big cliff.
And Nancy, Robin, Steve, Lucas, and Erica were all in the Creel house. The Creel house completely fucking collapsed.
Yeah.
Because it was at the center of everything.
They just kind of forgot how to write characters getting back.
Like, how did they get out? How are they unscathed?
I guess.
And why are they all so happy? Like, Eddie just died.
I mean, Dustin doesn't seem very happy.
No. And he was the only one.
Actually, here. I remember you were talking about traumatized kids. What's our rating of most traumatized?
Oh, God. Well, I think Elle stays at the top permanently.
Yeah.
Because she's had a life of it. Right now? Oof.
I think the only one that, like, they're all very high. The only one that isn't is Mike. Mike is just, like, dead last.
You're right. But I think that's... Mike, like, conveniently sits out a lot of, like, the violence that goes on. Like, yeah. I can't... Yeah. Like, he'll probably get it next season because Nancy saw that her family was dead. So I'm assuming the Wheelers are going to get a run of it next season. But I just feel like he's absent. Even though he's like, he was originally like the main one out of the 6. The 6? Why did I come up with that number? The group of people.
Yes.
Like, he was originally the main one. And now he's just kind of like, eh.
He's along for the ride. There's just, everyone else has kind of outclassed him.
Yeah.
That's so funny, because you'd argue that Will is the youngest one here. You know, he's still acting like a kid because his childhood was more ripped away from him. But I think that's more Mike, and like Mike is always telling Will to grow up. Like we're gonna get girlfriends. We're gonna not play D&D all the time. But
and yet, when Lucas went off and tried to do that, he was shunned for it.
Yeah, good point, actually.
And I think, like, Lucas being, like, the black kid out of the group is obviously going to want to try harder to stop getting bullied. And they just completely disregarded that. And I think that the show kind of has a bit of a problem with, like, not addressing the very obvious racism that's happening.
I think, though, that I mean, obviously, we can't say anything on this.
Yeah.
I think them not obviously painting it out maybe makes it better, because then it relies on you picking it up. Like, racism isn't spelled out. It's subtle in places. So,
yeah.
Like, if someone's being targeted, like Billy being pissed off that Max is going out with Lucas. Like, if that was anyone else, I don't think he wouldn't have mind. But because it's Lucas, and because it's the 80s, we get that impression.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I don't know
if it would be better. And we had the recurring thing with Jason, too.
Yeah.
It was kind of Billy's replacement. As, like, the psychotic blonde man.
It's always the sporty people as well, like the muscular sporty people.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
As it should be.
I love that they show characters with privilege being assholes. Like, Mike is an asshole.
Yeah, Tig.
I'm sorry. Sorry. You know what? It's actually getting warm in here. I might want to take off my blazer.
Your cashmere blazer?
My cashmere blazer. Yeah. And like my silk tie that's just strangling me at the moment.
And your gold chains that are just running up your your arms.
Yeah.
You know, it keeps you warm.
Keeps me warm.
Keeps you toasty.
makes me not have to feel so guilty about all the people who I've stepped on the way.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. The show is good. I feel like that's all we can really say about that.
At the moment, but overall, the show is good.
It's one of the main things, I feel, that brought Netflix to the limelight. Like,
oh, definitely. This show made Netflix.
Yeah.
And I think also... this show, and I think 13 Reasons Why.
Yeah.
Because they're like shows that everyone knows, and they were Netflix shows.
Mm.
So I think they are the Netflix shows that have happened.
And that is so maybe
the,
funny.
The Umbrella Academy is like coming up there, but it's not like... They're not like the triad of Netflix shows, you know?
No, I think that's actually more reserved to Squid Game.
Ooh, yeah, you're right. Is that a Netflix original?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. Netflix is actually doing a lot of Korean shows now. Like, they had All of Us Are Dead, or like Every One of Us Is Dead, or something like that. And then there's this new one that I just saw a trailer for. And then you also have Money Heist, but for Korea. And I'm like,
yeah.
I wonder how big the audience is in Korea.
It is. It's very big, and, like, outside of Korea.
Hmm.
Which is questionable, but...
I'm curious to see how that goes on in the future.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
But I think Stranger Things is definitely at the forefront of Netflix.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what they're going to do when it ends.
I don't know, maybe... I don't know if they're going to pour money into Umbrella Academy. I think Umbrella Academy maybe has one more season in it.
Yeah.
But even then, we're obviously going to talk about it more in the Umbrella Academy podcast, but I think how it ended, it's fine. It's nice. I wouldn't mind if it stopped.
But we'll keep that for the podcast.
And that will probably come after Jack's How I Met Your Mother one. So I hope you guys enjoyed, and we will see you later.
Bye.